We know where the wildlings are massing. Mormon came back. We had it from Creston. I mislike the man, but I do not think he'd lie to us on this. As you say, Smallwood took a sullen leave. The others finished their wine and followed more courteously. "Shall I bring your supper, my lord?" John asked.
"Corn!"
the raven cried. Mormont did not answer at once. When he did, he said only, "Did your wolf find game today?" "He's not back yet."
"We could do with fresh meat."
Mormont dug into a sack and offered his raven a handful of corn. "You think I'm wrong to keep the rangers close?" "It's not for me to say, my lord."
"It is, if you're asked."
"If the rangers must stay in sight of the fist, I don't see how they can hope to find my uncle," John admitted.
"They can't."
The raven pecked at the kernels in the old bear's palm.
200 men or 10,000. The country is too vast."
The corn gone, Mormont turned his hand over. "You would not give up the search?"
"Maester Aemon thinks you clever."
Mormont moved the raven to his shoulder. The bird tilted its head to one side, little eyes aglitter. The answer was there. "Is it? It seemed to me that it might be easier for one man to find 200 than 200 to find one." The raven gave a cackling scream, but the old bear smiled through the grey of his beard.
"This many men and horses leave a trail even Aemon could follow. On this hill our fires ought to be visible as far off as the foothills of the Frostfangs. If Ben Stark is alive and free, he will come to us, I have no doubt."
"Yes," said John, "but what if—"
"He's dead?"
Mormont asked, not unkindly. John nodded, reluctantly.
"Dead,"
the raven said.
"Dead. Dead."
"He may come to us anyway," the old bear said, "as Arthur did, and Jaffa Flowers.
I dread that as much as you, John, but we must admit the possibility."
"Dead,"
the raven called, ruffling its wings. Its voice grew louder and more shrill.
"Dead."
Mormont stroked the bird's black feathers and stifled a sudden yawn with the back of his hand.